Der Podcast vom DocElf. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Podcast vom DocElf. Wir befinden uns gerade in der Serie Wer wir sind, das DocElf mit. Und da lade ich mir jede Woche ein paar Kollegen ein und interviewe sie zu ihren Erfahrungen mit und im DocElf. Mein Name ist Lisa Oettinghaus und heute habe ich mir meine werte Kollegin Sandra Olsen eingeladen. Und Sandra, schön, dass du da bist. Herzlich willkommen.
Danke.
Wir haben gerade ein bisschen gequatscht vorher und haben uns überlegt, dass wir diesen Podcast heute mal auf Englisch halten werden. Und zwar aus folgendem Grund. Sandra, where are you from?
I am from Sweden.
Exactly. And I can't speak Swedish. No. So we decided maybe we're just going to do it in English. And we hope that's fine for you guys. Great. So welcome, Sandra.
Thank you.
I'm very happy that we actually finally made it to meet up and talk a little bit about your experience with Doc11 and also with your dancing career.
Yes, excited to be here.
Thank you. Cool. The first question I have for you is, I actually started asking it to all of my guests, how they would describe Doc11 in three words.
Spontaneously, I think I would say a family place.
Mm-hmm.
Is that three words? Yes, it is.
family
place.
Nice. Okay, let's dig deeper into that. Why would you say, is it like your family or you feel like we are kind of a family or because there's lots of different generations out of families who are dancing here?
Oh, that's a nice way to look at it.
I already gave you the answer.
Yeah, I actually didn't see it that way, but that's a really nice way to look at it, that there are so many different generations being in this place. Mm-hmm. I think actually for me, the family part is more that it's familiar and everybody that I ever met here that is just coming, passing through, or that is teaching here or working here or just here for a workshop, whoever I meet always seems to feel at home.
Mm-hmm.
That they feel like they can express themselves. They don't have to ask, like, am I allowed to have a glass of water? Or am I... Like, it just feels like people feel very comfortable. And for me, that's a home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that's why I look at it as a family place. And mm-hmm. But the generation thing is also a lovely way to look at it.
I think that's just my experience. And also, I talked to Doreen, and she's here since a very long time. And we were talking about this generation thing that she now has mothers where they have already... where they have their daughters here, and the daughters already have their daughters. It's like the third generation. And
yeah.
How we can like experience that here as teachers.
Yeah, which I think you can do also because there is so many different, like as you say, teachers who has been here for many years. And then there's new teachers who has not been here for so long. And then you have a child in your children courses. And then the mother has been here or the sister has gone through here. Or like there's so many generations also in the courses and classes. And then you have people coming into theater. They have been here in the beginning of their career and now they come back and they haven't been here for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place where you come back always. And
mm-hmm.
that's also a family place. You always come back.
Yeah.
And that's a nice way.
The way how you see it, how you see the Doc11. So what brought you here and when, talking about generations, and maybe you didn't experience that yet in your classes? Since when are you here?
I'm actually I see myself as quite fresh still, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I started to come to Doc11 like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Years ago, I think I started to come here. I came actually because I didn't start to teach here first. I worked in the counter, in the reception. So people that come to classes maybe knows me from the reception actually more. And I wanted to come to work here because I was working in a store right after when I finished my education. I just was working in a store and doing some projects on the side, and it was living this life that I think a lot of artists can relate to, that, okay, I'm working in the store or in a cafe and I'm doing that, and that's one part of my life. But then also I'm doing my projects, and I'm trying to get job and evolve my dancing. And it became these two parallel worlds, mm-hmm. which I felt was not optimal for me. Or I wanted to get closer and only be in this world of artists and dancing and creativity and teaching and movement. And I thought I needed an extra job because I needed the income, no? And I thought that was a good place to just be in this space. I had taken a lot of professional training here also, and I knew the place. And so I decided just to write and ask if they needed counter help in the reception. And it turned out that they actually did. And that's how I came here. So
this
I was
is exactly the way I did it.
Yeah, you also came here like this.
Sick of working at a bar or a restaurant. And then I asked at the counter here because I thought, well, it has at least combined my background with dancing. And then I also had the idea, if you start working here, you get the calls of the teachers who are sick, who can't come in. So I thought I could always put myself in. And this is actually how I became a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And how I ended up getting some classes of a teacher who got pregnant. And this is how I kind of sneaked in.
Because now you're actually teaching a lot of classes here.
Now it's 17. Yeah. And
wow.
Build it up like every year a little bit more. But so did that also work out for you?
Well, I actually didn't have that approach when I started here. I just wanted to be in the surroundings. But actually, it is kind of how it worked out also for me, because I started to substitute. I also substituted you once. Which was very much in the beginning when I was working in the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And
see?
It was this Lisa who had so many classes and I was supposed to substitute you. And I remember, wow, I have no idea what she's doing in her classes. But it turned out good. I remember I did a dance stop with them and they told me, we're not allowed to do this with Lisa.
Oh, yeah, they know that. Yeah, I'm not playing with them.
Exactly.
I do play in the sense of what we understand as playing, but I'm not doing like, how do you call it, catch and... How is it? What is it in English?
With the catch and...
Catch and run?
Catch and run, we can call it.
Yeah.
Let's call it.
Or stop dancing, maybe with a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
But you subbed a children's class, adult class.
Yeah,
you didn't
exactly.
do stop dancing with my adults.
No.
Great.
I did that with the children. So that's how I started. I just did a few substitution classes. Mm-hmm. And I actually taught then already in a lot of different schools. And then suddenly there was an opening, one teacher was going to leave, and I got the question if I wanted to take over 2 children courses, and I did. And then there was another person who was going to leave on a grown-up class, so I took over that class also. So now I'm teaching both grown-ups and children here. But I'm still working in the counter.
Wow, nice. So I already heard you are not just teaching at Doc 11, you are also teaching somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm teaching in the TU, the Technische Universität, the Technical University, with the Unisport. And then I'm teaching also in the Dance Academy Axleben in Potsdam. And then I'm also teaching in Goldoni, it's an acting school where they also have dance and movement and music. Yeah.
Nice. And also, did you mention Potsdam?
Yeah, that's the Tanzakademie Axleben.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. So you're actually like getting around like each day. You have to switch the schools and travel through the whole city. And
yeah, it's a lot of traveling for them backwards, but it's also nice because you get to see a lot of different places. You get to meet a lot of different colleagues. You get to experience a lot of different students and styles. And it's nice. It's nice. Of course, it's a bit running around. Which is maybe sometimes a negative side of it, at least for me sometimes, because you have to run around quite a lot. But it definitely has its upside also. I think it counters each other quite nicely.
I mean, now, as you said, there's lots of different classes you teach. You teach people who don't have any experience. You teach younger ones, older ones. And I think Potsdam is more like the classical direction.
Yeah, it's ballet. They teach ballet. Yeah.
Yeah. And here it's maybe a little bit more modern. At least our school or Doc 11 is more anti-autoritaire.
Yeah.
I didn't know the word in English. But I think you get me. And so what would you say if you find like a general explanation about how you work as a teacher, how would you describe your classes? What it makes your class so different from other classes, or what's your source of how you work?
It's a good question. I think I could imagine that my sensation and my approach is maybe not what my students would say it is, because everybody experienced something different.
Exactly.
But my main goal for my classes, especially here here in Doc 11, is definitely to create a sensation, a full body sensation, and an awareness and an understanding of what the body's doing and what you can do with it. And this fine sensitivity of, I don't know if you ever had this, but this sensitivity in the body that feels like I am doing this, and I'm not taking my arm up top of my head because I can't take it. It's like I'm really sensing the whole arm, and I'm taking it in one direction, and to really feel that connection within the whole body. And I met a lot of people in my life, and also friends of mine and family and colleagues and a lot of different people who always, when we were talking about what is your sensation of you or of me, mm-hmm. and especially people who don't dance or any type, who is deep down in movement, mm-hmm. they often, not everybody, this is very generalization now, gave me the expression, me ends here, like where your throat is, mm-hmm. kind of like me is my brain, me is my head, where my thoughts are happening, and mm-hmm. where my expressions of my facial expressions mm-hmm. is happening. That is me, mm-hmm. and the rest is my body, and it's still me, but it's my body. Mm-hmm. And the connection there was always a bit vague for mm-hmm. a lot of friends of mine who I was talking to at certain point. I was talking a lot to friends about this. And it bothered me. It really bugged me. I was like, but there is so much more. The sensation of the whole you is you, the whole body and the brain. There is a connection. It goes through. It flows through. There's the nerval system. There's the muscle. There's so much connection to everything. And to have this full body sensation in the skin, in the muscles, in the tension, it's just such a beautiful thing to have. And I thought always it was a pity that some people didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And I always try to have the goal of my classes that they get a bit closer to this sensation, this feeling of I am moving my whole body, and it's not a piece of body and I'm just moving it. Like, mm-hmm. no, but I'm moving in space, and have really a fine sensitivity of the body. Yeah, it's a state of mind. It's it's a awareness. You can call it many things, but that I think is like the main approach. Mm-hmm. And I think you can reach it, or I'm trying in my classes here in Doc 11 with the children classes and the grown-up classes. I'm trying to reach it with a mixture of improvisation, with movement meditation, with set material. I'm trying to get there with a mixture of things and. Mm. I mean, so far I keep having people coming to my classes, so I think there is something that is working. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice when there is a click coming, like mm-hmm. a small epiphany. It's also really beautiful to see. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Yeah, especially when you felt it yourself, like in your, I guess in your education, this is something you developed, or even also saw with your teachers that out of that your way of teaching developed.
Yeah.
Right. So what was your education? Like, where would you say you had like most of your input you have now, or your technique? Like, where do you have that from?
It's a very complex question, I find, because I did a lot of different things. I had this one education, but I did quite a lot of things. Actually, I started in theater. Mm-hmm. I started out in theater, and then I went to...
Was that still in Sweden? Or?
That was in Sweden, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did 1 year of theater school in Sweden. It was very, very helpful and very, very fun and nice, and it gave me a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I did a pre-education, which was actually just for me to see what do I want. It was just a year for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I should do something for me. I need to find something with me. I need to do something else. Mm-hmm. And I never had this, I'm going to become a dancer, which a lot of people have had. Mm-hmm. I never had that. And then it just somehow clicked. And then from there, I went to Germany. Mm-hmm. And then I did 2 years in Evanson.
In Munich.
In Munich, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Kassel and did my last year in Kassel, which we figured out that you did. Because you also went to Sotsu, right?
Exactly, my favorite school. And I'm actually doing advertisement for them.
Yeah.
Not paid, of course, but since we're already talking about it. Yes, I also went there and I did I think 3 years there.
You did a full 3 years at Sotsu, right?
Full 3 years, yeah. Exactly, because you just went a year?
I just went there for my last year. Yeah.
Ah, okay. It was like an exchange program or?
No, what? I dropped out of Evanson.
Okay.
After 2 years, I dropped out and then I went to Sotsu instead.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just did my last year in Sotsu. So I got a little mix from both different schools. Mm. But you went full 3 years.
I went full 3 years and we were the first year, like the pioneer year. And we were seven women. We started off with seven women. And the whole 3 years, we were the only class. And I think after those 3 years, she started having like a few classes parallel.
Yeah, but you always had the founder of the school teaching you also.
Yeah, Deborah Smith-Wicke.
Yeah.
She was doing the ballet classes and sometimes also contemporary. And then we started also with her good friend, Andreas Astar. He came in like for a few weeks. He was not living in Kassel by the time. And then what I found really nice about this whole education was that there's a really cool theater, the Kassel Staatstheater, and all the teachers who were teaching there, they were also teaching us.
Ah, nice.
So I had the feeling that we always had like really amazing teachers. That's and nice. By now, like, I don't see a difference between the teachers who are teaching in Berlin, like at very good companies, and those teachers are the same who are also going to Kassel and teaching there. So it's I always had the feeling that that was a big plus about the school.
Yeah. I always were a bit jealous that you had Deborah so much. Because I came quite a few years later than you to Sotsu. And then she was not teaching as much, or at least not in the third year, which I was attending. I had a few classes with her and it was always really, really great.
It was amazing, especially for ballet, because she has such a clean technique. And it kind of helped to get rid of the fear about ballet. Can't really explain how she did it, but it was very like, especially the first year was all about like cleaning our techniques, our ballet techniques.
But you did a lot of ballet before you came there?
I did a 6 year peer education before I went to Sotsu, and that was in Dortmund at Modern Dance Center. Mm-hmm. And after that I went to Houston, Texas to dance with a company, Adeum. Mm-hmm. And that was like, I think I would say that was the only and the worst ballet experience I had. The only bad experience I had with ballet was in America, in Houston, Texas, because it was so, like, I came from Germany where it was all about research and experience the movement, and in Houston, it was all about tricks and how many turns you can turn and how high you can jump. And
so it was about the result and not of your experience with the ballet.
Exactly.
And applying it to your body.
Yeah, and I actually brought lots of injuries from there through just 1 year dancing in this weird technique direction. Yeah. Okay, but let's get back to... So you went to Sotsu?
Yes.
And you did 1 year there. And then I heard about a very interesting work you did with Shai Faran.
Shai Faran, yes.
Or you actually still work with her, right?
I still work with her, yeah. Yeah, I have taken a break now because of Corona times. But I'm still very much involved with her work. I actually met her in Sotsu. Yeah. She did our final piece in Sozzo. And that's when I get to know her. And we had her for, I think, 5 weeks, 6 weeks full, constantly every day to work towards that piece. Mm-hmm. And I somehow just got very inspired of her work, the way she's working and the way she's doing things with a process. And after the education, I remember in the end of the whole process and the end of our whole piece, we sat down and we talked about how the experience had been. And because in the... Okay, I'm going to return. when we started the whole process, she sat down with us and she said for her it was very important, the process, and not only the outcome. And for me, I came from the background that the outcome is the importance. Mm-hmm. And I felt very like, oh, but for me, it's not the process. For me, it's the outcome and how it is then presented and da-da-da-da. And then they like we went there 5 or 6 weeks, something like this. And afterwards, she said like, yeah, the process. We talked again about the process and so. And it kind of hit me like I changed so much the view of a process during these few weeks. And I just started to go to all of her open classes. I moved to Berlin and she gave a lot of open professional classes in Berlin. And I started to attend all of them. And when she had workshops, luckily she was having them all in Berlin mostly, which I felt very blessed because then I could just attend very easily. And I attended to all of them that I could. And this was kind of a way that I just started to follow her work. And I've always felt that it gave me something else. And then she started also with an online training, like to follow her work a bit deeper. And I started that also. And it kind of just went. I think it's been 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
7 years, 6, 7 years, something like wow. 6 years. And it's just kind of flowed onto this following her and her work and the process. It's really a process. And in the beginning, it was for one reason of me wanting to have this awareness, this sensitivity. I realized because the teachers always told me, you have to become more aware. Be aware of this, be aware of that. And I was always like, yes, but I don't know how. I understand, but how? And she gave tools that was just so clear. And it became so easy to, of course it was a work and it was difficult and it was a process and you had to work on it, like properly work on it. But it gave that what I always urged. This, there is something more. It cannot only be lifting there has to be something more to it. It started there and today it's much more of a, when I go in and do my practice, it's also a mental way of I'm working with me and myself and I'm becoming aware and how do I apply that within my life. And it became more of a way to see the practice, to see my training and how I apply it in life. And it's a lifestyle for me.
And how would you describe the work she does to people who have never heard about her or her work?
Oh, this is a very hard question.
I know, it's really hard because when I was asking the question, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be really hard to answer because, I mean, I know the work a little bit through you and also I got to know her as well. Let's try together maybe.
I think here applies very much what I said before, that the approach she has and the thoughts she has is maybe not always how the students are taking. Like there is always a interpretation. There's always a feeling of I'm taking it like this and what I need and how I'm receiving it and she's giving it in one way. Like she works with many different approaches and many different tools. I would
pictures. And this is a little bit what I have in memory.
Yeah, like. The thing is, she works, or like one part of her work is, for example, like to get back to this awareness thing that I'm working a lot with that affected me a lot, is that she breaks things down. Like there is a certain, okay, I'm moving, I'm dancing, but am I aware of what I'm doing? Am I making choices? is it because I choose to do this, or is it just happening? Or, and she has a way of breaking things down into smaller pieces to make more awareness, and then maybe in the end everything looks the same, but actually I'm making mm-hmm. at least active choices,
mm-hmm.
and that brings awareness. And I think mm-hmm. that's one part of what she's doing,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Active choices.
Yeah.
I think that's what, in the end, what you do see as an audience or as a student when you are teaching or something, that through the awareness, it does look different from the outside.
Yeah.
And through this awareness of I'm making the decision to do this movement or to not do the 1 million other movements I could have done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's this thing of really practicing it many, many, many times until it's really there. There is a certain, it becomes a bigger awareness than just practicing it 2-3 times, like what we learn in a class. Do you actually go home and practice it, or do you only practice it in class? How are you ever going to really learn it and really get settled with it if you don't go home and practice it also?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bit of the theory, I think, also, that at least with this online training, that you go home and you actually practice something for real.
Mm-hmm.
And not only learn it in the class. And I think that has a lot of value to her work, that you really, you dig deep into it, and then it becomes interesting. And then mm-hmm. it also shows in the movement that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It brings a lot of value.
Yeah. You already mentioned online classes, since we all know we are not open at the moment, and we are doing everything online. All our amazing teachers are teaching online. And for you personally, do you have the feeling that you can already experience any things which are different now teaching online and maybe are giving something positive to your class or to the class in general?
Well, I think all teachers are handling this situation very nicely here in Doc 11. There's so many nice different classes to take and approaches that has been taken from the teachers. I don't know. There is a certain value of change. I was very against these online classes in the beginning.
Me too.
Extremely.
Yeah.
I remember both of us were a bit...
It was very hard to adapt because, of course, a class, like everyone who took a class knows that a class is alive and a good class when you are interacting with each other and reacting to each other. And all of that seemed impossible in the beginning. But now, like, since we're teaching a little bit longer already online, I have the feeling that I'm at least... my mind gets a little bit more open to the idea that there could maybe also be some positive things. Like, for example, I had this feeling that bringing the dance into their homes made their safe space. So they are in their safe space. And I had the feeling that that was, at least with teaching the children, was a huge... positive thing that they all of a sudden could open up much more, especially very shy children, which were a little bit more shy in the class when we were teaching at the studio. So I'm just curious if you also experienced some things or saw some things which could maybe also be positive about teaching online.
I mean, I very much see especially with the children, that I have some children who tells me, yeah, I did this exercise also later after the class was over. Like that you actually bring the dance at home, as you say, and it continues when the screen shuts off because they have already been moving in the space. It allows them to keep moving in the space and they don't need the dance studio for
exactly.
that. And that, I think, is really nice, that it brings, it doesn't become this limitation, we need a dance studio to do it.
Mm.
You can do it at home as well.
Sure.
And I think that's really nice how to do it. And somehow they become more, they take more responsibility also because they ask more questions because it's harder to see and they try it more and... because they cannot see as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they come with more creative ideas also. They're like, yeah, but I have this thing. I have a chair here and I can dance with that. And I can, they use the things in a different way. And that's also really nice to see. And for me, it's also really been challenging to find material because I'm moving a lot in space. Mm-hmm. I want people to move in space and not just move in the little square we're used to move in. Mm-hmm. Really use the space. And this has been challenging for me to, we cannot move as much in space because there is not so much space. But with limitations, which is also really something I got taught by Shai, for example, this with limitation, there comes more possibilities because suddenly you're forced to explore the possibilities within those restrictions. And then you see suddenly that there is so many possibilities. You just need to open up to them and start seeing them. And that has also been a very, very good lesson for me with this online thing that we are animals and we adapt. Exactly. The human being is wonderful of adapting, and we will adapt to everything if you just open up to see the possibilities within the restrictions. And this I really did. It took a bit of time, I have to be honest.
Same for me. But I'm actually happy. Like, I have the feeling that lots of things developed much faster through the pandemic, especially like making everything digital, or now we're working on an online school is kind of like an encyclopedia. I don't know the word in English. Like a Wikipedia for dancing, so that we are actually producing little clips where we explain very detailed our movements, or like we are doing the contemporary part of it. And that's very interesting. And I think if we wouldn't have had the pandemic, we would have never done that.
So. No, I don't think so either. So it gives, it gives really restrictions, gives possibilities.
Exactly.
We just have to allow ourselves to be open enough to see them.
Oh, wow. That sounded so nice. And it sounded like a good ending sentence of our nice interview or talk, chat, I would say. Just for our listeners, do you want to tell us when your classes are in case maybe someone got curious about taking a class of yours at Doc 11?
My children classes are on Mondays in Eden in Pankow, the second studio we have. On Mondays from 15 and from 16. And my grown-up classes, well, now during Corona and lockdown, it's on Mondays at 6 o'clock online via Zoom. But when we go back to reality, very weirdly said, because this is our reality now, but when we go back to teaching in the studios, in real meetings, it's on Wednesdays at 7.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sandra, for chatting with me. It was really interesting to dive into your life and into your experience with the Doc 11. And see you next time. Bye.